Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1005 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles. Joined today, he's back from the land down under, but not Australia. It's just literally down under the United States. It's called Mexico. James Dean Rader's here. To my left, the worst friend I have, Tyler Meisinger.
But a good salute. Friend, though?
It's still a friend.
I want to go back to being your main nemesis.
Yeah.
You rudely said that Ollie was a bigger nemesis of yours than me.
It's. I mean, it's that's what competition's all about. It's one day it is him. Other days it's yours. And joining us from Wisconsin, Ben Funky Askren. Benjamin, hello,
what's
how are
up?
You?
I'm doing well.
Well, great. That's enough of Ben. Mm-hmm. Let's get into wrestling talk. We had quite a weekend. Now, there was not, I guess it wasn't the weekend technically, but no NCAA wrestling this weekend. So a lot of focus on
that's not totally true.
Okay, D2,
we D3. We had D2 and
Wisconsin.
D3 qualifiers.
How'd it go?
Go Wisconsin. UW Parkside got 7 in. Lacrosse got a whole bunch in. I don't know who else, but I know Eau Claire did well. I think Whitewater did pretty good. Wisconsin represent.
Shout out to Lopers. 8 qualifiers.
8 qualifiers. Not bad for Loper Nation.
I think they're ranked number 1, aren't they?
It depends on which ranking you look at. But
okay.
How many rankings are there?
Is that a no?
I think 2, 3 maybe.
Now I got to look it up.
Depends if you look at JD's ranking.
It means maybe not on Flow Wrestling, but.
No, they are on Flow. We have D2 rankings.
Oh, wow.
I think there's
well, that's
NCAA
all you
rankings.
Should have said, JD. You should have said yes.
Yeah, number yeah. 1. Are we not the essential destination or we're not? Goodness gracious. But okay, yeah, caveat D2, and I'm sure there are a lot of other things happening. But
oh my God, you hateful son of a gun. This is the tone of your voice right now.
Well, I just, me angry. I'm you know, the up. Correction. You know, when I say NCAA, I think we all know what I mean. But no, Pan Am's happened. Great. There were some great, and there were some not so great.
There was a lot of not so great.
The ladies qualified every single weight. That's great. We qualified a handful of Greco. How many Greco?
Three out of six.
3 out of 6. That's not bad. And
I love how that. Listen, no, I love how that's like not that bad because I know it wasn't all that long ago that I think it was 2004. Now maybe I'm dating myself, and we didn't qualify a weight. We didn't qualify one weight, and it was like, oh my God, this is the most embarrassing ever. We didn't qualify a weight.
Yeah.
And now we're like, hey, we got half. Let's have a party.
We got
like,
half.
Greco's got to pick it up. And I'm not going to be doing it for Team Greco, but someone on Team Greco's got to step up.
Well, men's freestyle has exactly one more qualifier as it currently stands because
that's not good.
Zane Richards, Nick Lee, both made it to both wrestled. They both lost to the competitors they had to beat in order.
Both
to make
lost
it.
To other Americans. You could say it.
Well, yes, they certainly did. They certainly did, which created a healthy amount of conversation online and beyond about, you know, something I've been talking about since 18, 17 or so when Stevan did and
yeah.
Ben and many others. They
I've been arguing and I will still maintain my point.
They chastised me that it's not the guys that it's not going to be our number one guys. It's not going to be guys that are going to be preventing us. And it's the more the merrier. And then, well, we had 2 Americans stop us from qualifying. We have another American that's a world champion at a weight we're not qualified in. So I don't know. I think it's kind of happening as I described it would happen. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't think it's wrong, but it's certainly not ideal for USA Wrestling's perspective. So, but I don't know what you would even contend at this point, Ben, because what I described is happening.
Which part of it? What I initially contended is that people should be able to go wrestle for other countries because it increases the opportunity for Americans. Yep. And I don't really give it. You know, listen, I am not a gigantic Austin Gomez or Darren Cruz fan, but despite that, the fact that they're wearing other colored singlets, one of them dudes grew up in Chicago. One of them dudes grew up in New Jersey. They're as American as it gets. So, yes, I think it's great that we have Americans wrestling for other countries. I think it's great that we have more opportunities for young American wrestlers growing up, even if they got to wear kind of fancy colored singlets to do it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I'm okay with the I mean, that's the rules. They're following the rules. There's nothing immoral or illegal about what they're doing. That's not my contention. My contention is, listen, if you're a fan, you're allowed to be a fan of a team. And the team I cheer for in wrestling is Team USA. I think that's okay and normal. But and so, well, hold
Aaron
on.
Cruz
hold
and
on.
Austin Gomez are Americans. No, they're Americans.
Not, they're not on the team.
Team USA.
They left the team.
That's where they grew up.
But they're not on the team. They left the team. They could be on the team. Austin Gomez.
No. I'm just giving you a new way to think about it. Like when I go to a high school match, I don't cheer for Arrowhead or McGuanago. I cheer for whichever kid goes to AWA.
Right.
That's how you need to cheer for it. Well, Mexico singlet, Puerto Rico singlet, Slovakia, Slovenia. I don't give a crap. They grew up in America. Let's cheer for them.
Well, I do cheer for them, except.
Okay.
Except when they're wrestling USA, which is the team I do cheer for.
What if there was a Team USA guy whom you did not really like all that much, and there was a guy who was an American wrestling for a different country who you liked a lot, who would you cheer for?
I don't know. That's never happened.
Oh, that's never happened? There's got to be some a few people you don't like at least.
I mean, there's people I don't
name.
There's people I don't like, but none of them are threatening to make
name
teams.
Names right now.
If Tyler gets on the ladder and he's almost if he's wrestling for like Ireland or something, yeah, I'm or. Or if he makes the U.S. team, yeah, I'm cheering against him. Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to be in the front row heckling him. I'm going to try to sabotage him every step of the way. But until Tyler's on the U.S. world team, I don't think I'm going to have to.
Alex Dolly wrestled for Ireland one time. You guys remember him? He wrestled for Northern Iowa. He got on the Irish team.
Coach at ODU. Yeah. I would root for Alex Dolly over Tyler, obviously. no, but here's my thing. And I did a video talking a little more at length of this. I do not malign, judge, whatever, these guys making the choice to wrestle for another country. Where I get annoyed is the pontificators on Twitter that try to make you feel bad that you want USA to win and do well, and that you maybe have it take exception with the fact that our talent is wrestling for other countries, right? I think it's okay to feel like, hey, that's not ideal that guys that born, raised, trained. Hold on, Ben.
Okay, I'll let you. You've been going a long time.
No, I have not. That was maybe 15 seconds.
Put a stopwatch on him.
And so all these people that want to make you feel like there's something wrong with you for cheering for wanting Team USA to do well, I don't think they're wrong for having that. The same way when LeBron James left the Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland fans were mad. No one said it's illegal for LeBron to go to Miami. People were like, no, you just left our team. That's not cool.
Did you burn Austin Gomez's singlet?
I did not.
In the streets.
I'm not a singlet burner. But I do think it's fair to say, hey, well, you know, it would be ideal if these guys were wrestling for America. I don't think there's anything wrong with that perspective either. Wow, 35 seconds. On top of the 15, I already spoke. That's crazy.
It was like 4 minutes.
No, it wasn't. We'll go back. We'll go back.
Okay. So listen, I think sports ball fans are kind of nuts also, right?
Did you just say sports ball?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sports ball, all the sports balls, baseball, basketball,
something
football,
only Ben Askren can say.
Mm-hmm. They're nuts when they're like, they left our team. Like, you didn't do nothing. Just shut up. And Christian, that's the same take I would – you didn't coach Austin Gomez. He's not like, you know, he was on the, oh my God, what's your team's name again? Southside Bandits or something.
What? The 512 Outlaws?
What's your Texas team?
The Outlaws.
Outlaws. It's not like he was an outlaw and he went across the street to 3F or something. That's not what happened.
Oh,
he still lives
3F.
In Michigan.
I can't believe
he
we got
lives in Michigan.
I can't believe we got an outlaw and a 3F shout out on FRL.
That's what I'm saying. It's not like he went from one club to the other club. You're like, damn it, I coached that kid from the time he was 6 until he was 14, and he was just about to come into his prime, and he left.
Ben,
so
that's exactly what
him.
Happened. Ben, he came up.
No,
and
no,
he,
no.
Hold on. No, yes. He came up in
no,
the U.S.
No, Sean
system.
Bormette still coaches Austin Gomez. He still lives in Michigan.
No. Well, if you want to get kind of technical with it, I mean, Austin Gomez and Darren Cruz represented Team USA at past, like Darren Cruz wrestled for USA in the World Cup. Austin Gomez made a cadet world team, I think.
Yeah, cadet.
Back in the day in Greco.
He tried to make junior teams. I forget, he had an epic 2 out of 3 with Mitch McKee one time. But yeah, he's trying. So they were, it's actually exactly what you described, Ben. They were in the U.S. system.
No.
Now, hold on. They were in the U.S. system.
No, but you're misconstruing what I'm saying. You're not even taking the,
well,
you're
strawmanning
me.
I don't even get
me
to say what I want to say.
Because you're strawmanning me. You don't deserve to.
No, I'm not strawmanning you.
My point was, you have not had hands-on contact with these guys.
Well, I haven't.
The,
no.
The people who, but the people who have, like, say, Austin Gomez's dad, Hector, he probably don't give a damn what color singlet he's wearing. He's like, my son's going to the Olympics. This
exactly
is tremendous.
Nothing wrong
and
with
I'm
that.
And I'm guessing Derek Cruz's young coaches feel the same way.
Okay. Well, there's a thing where you don't have to have directly coached someone to have an, you know, an opinion about it. I'm saying a feeling. I've been going.
Feeling.
I would go to these world team camps. Austin Gomez was at these U.S. world team camps. He was getting better. U.S. resources, you know, there's a world where there's a little bit of a little friction there. You don't agree? This guy was trying to make your world teams. He's been funded by you. And now Mexico, which has no coaches. What is it? What are they contributing to wrestling?
That's what I'm saying.
Puerto Rico.
Sean,
what are they contributing? They're
Gomez
not contributing.
Their coach.
Yeah, exactly. American coaches. So that's
yeah.
The
so we just get this is Christian. I tried to explain this to you so many times. If we just take over Puerto Rico and Canada and Mexico, we got 40 spots at the Worlds.
Yeah,
that's way better than 10. 40 greater than 10. This is so simple.
To that point,
don't dislike that.
Kozak is in the chat and he's saying Russia has been doing this for years.
Russia's
a great sign for the state of USA freestyle.
Yeah, Russia's in great shape, guys. It's good. This is great. That Tazudinov, who is Dagestani, born, raised, trained, can just go to Bahrain and take out the greatest living wrestler maybe we've ever seen. That's awesome.
I love that Bahrain. That was
finally
crazy.
Bahrain. Getting the yeah,
I Christian, it's just awesome. A colored singlet. It's just a colored singlet. The government of Russia does not make those wrestlers. The coaches make those wrestlers. Joe Biden hasn't helped Kyle Dake. He hasn't.
And here's why it's awesome.
You don't know that. You don't know that.
It's the coaches.
If he stayed in Russia, like, who knows what? He might not have been able to even compete at that world tournament.
Yes.
Maybe not.
Now we're getting the best guys wrestling at the worlds.
I'm not. Listen.
That's what we want.
Y'all are creating two different arguments too. I don't think
that
should not be allowed. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. Allow it. But American wrestling fans are allowed to have a preference.
So you're just gonna be sad.
I'm not even sad. I'm not sad.
What are you then?
Conflicted. I'm conflicted.
Oh, okay.
We'll have at least 12 in men's freestyle at the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
America will.
American.
That's tremendous.
Yes. Yeah.
It's tremendous. It's good.
A lock for first place.
I don't know.
No, not when you consider
Russia's
going to
have more than 12.
That's true.
Than 12 for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
honestly,
Russia did this first. They had the transfer wave before we did.
Which they're actually starting to kind of push back on it too.
Yeah, I wonder why. That's weird
because their backups have started.
Well,
they're
communists. You want to be like a communist, Christian?
Not communist. It's not communist.
Christian,
you're just
communist.
Using buzzwords.
I paid taxes so you could train wrestling, and you will now wrestle in the red, white, and blue singlet.
I don't think my tax dollars go to USA Wrestling. I don't think.
What do you mean? Of course they do.
Do you pay a USA Wrestling membership fee for you and Caleb?
Of course I do.
That's a tax.
I am.
Those are your dollars. I'm just kidding.
USA Wrestling for sure gets money from the United States government. United States government gives money to the international or the USOC, and USOC gives money to the individual governing bodies. That happens for sure.
Yeah, but my taxes.
And yes, you're right. You're right. Unfortunately, Christian, the government just points a gun at us and takes our taxes, and we cannot say, like, we don't want to go to war in Israel or we don't want anything. We can't say nothing because they just take our money and they do whatever they want.
That's super relevant.
We have no vote.
So, I do not necessarily agree with this comment in our YouTube live chat from Bradley Ohanian, but I want to read it to you guys. It says, how come no one is passing the blame to guys like Fix Gilman or Vito who could have challenged a wrestle-off but decided the weight cut was too much of a challenge? And then they said, you reap what you sow. This is a very opinionated comment. I'm just reading.
Yeah, but it's obvious you feel that way too. But what I'll say is, Yeah, that's a point I've been trying to make up as much or bring up as often as possible. We brought it up every time someone's complains about Zane going. It's like, listen, we had three other guys that could have won. Everyone, you talk about Spencer. Maybe next quad they say, hey, the U.S. national winner can also challenge. Senior national winner can also challenge. Maybe they'll do that. But we had three other guys that could have challenged for the opportunity. They all declined. So don't be mad that Zane's going. He is.
He earned it.
He earned it. And we don't just handpick your team. There's a process, and that's what separates us from maybe.
Yeah, I think his question was, do you pass any of this blame off to those guys?
No, I don't blame them, because at the end of the day, this is a sport with very selfish goals. It's not about I want to qualify the weight for my country. It's about I want to be the Olympic champion. Why do you think we see all these transfers? It's because it's all about that sole goal. You want to be the Olympic, the world champion. And if they think there's a 1% chance that trying to make that Pan Am team is going to disrupt their Olympic trials run, they won't do it. And I think that's the assessment that all three of those guys made. And you can't fault them for it. That's the system, that's the process, and that's the way it goes. And that's what happens when you have a weight that is that small for human beings that are not.
You know, can I go back to my proposal that I've made many times on the show?
Let's go back to the Gaza Strip. Yes.
I love it. Let's talk politics.
No.
It is really offensive to me that they just take all my money and I don't get to say, like, well, I don't really like this or like that. You know, Christian, actually, if we want to educate from the past, we used to have to buy war bonds for our countries to go to war. And then when they ran out of the money to go to war, they had to stop the war. And now they could just print money and go to war for as long as they want. It's really unfortunate.
Yeah, cut out the middleman.
But I digress. Well, that's why your dollars are being worth less. Bitcoin's going on a run. You guys need to start reading up. Do your research, Christian Piles.
All right. Look into it.
Anyways, my idea on worlds that I've had many times is that war. We should have a bunch of wild card spots in which the other best guys can go to worlds. And that way we'll have less transfers because multiple representatives from one country will be able to go. And we'll actually have the best guys at worlds. And I was actually thinking, I wouldn't even care if we just kind of open it all the way up. I mean, maybe we have to have some qualifying points or something, but like, I don't know. Let's get the best 50 guys at worlds. Like, I was thinking some of these worlds brackets, like specifically 86, and maybe 92, there's just not a lot of really good guys that are competitive, right? But if you open it up, there would be significantly more. You know, 86, for example, from America, you'd have a whole bunch more be competitive. Let's make a more competitive world championships.
Yeah.
Kind of goes against the spirit of Olympics.
Well, he's saying for worlds. I agree. I think that that's a thing that we should definitely explore for worlds. I don't think that would ever happen for the Olympics. I think you'd still go back to the Olympic year, and it wouldn't work with the IOC and the very few number of people who get to compete in it already.
There's multiple. Yeah, I don't like in them either. So other sports, you know, in the Olympics, you know, there's multiple swimmers and track runners for.
Yeah, but we're talking about a sport that was on the chopping block like recently. And
yeah, I mean it's all pie in the sky. It's never gonna
16 people get to wrestle at the Olympics per weight.
I think it was like 20, but yeah. Not good.
Yeah. Oh, it was 20, I believe.
It's totally pie 19. In the sky. It's not realistic and never going to happen.
As much as it would be great, though.
It would be cool.
I think it would be awesome, Ben.
Well, we should talk about the actual wrestling that happened, because this Gomez Lee match was insane.
65
kilogram match. I mean, let's just start with it. The turning point in this match was the injury time for Austin Gomez. He was down 4 points, and then he takes a minute and a half injury break. And he proceeds to smash his way through.
Well, honestly,
can we cut the
video? I don't know if you're surmising there, Christian. I mean, it just, you when people talk about injury time, that the guy gets arrested and comes back stronger. But honestly, to me, it looked like Nick Lee faded as this match went on. Some of those reattacks that Austin was hitting in the second period, they were kind of like really easy.
Yeah.
Can we turn the volume off of the match? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think so.
How do I hear an Iranian horn and Iran's not even there?
They transferred.
What is going on?
I think people in Mexico had them as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were cheering for Austin.
You can buy horns almost anywhere in the world now. well, I mean, I don't know what happened to Nick Lee afterwards, but the turning point was that he was up 12-8, I think. And then
but it was even worse before, wasn't he up?
He was up 10-4.
8-2 maybe?
He was up 10-4.
8-2 and then
if we could fast forward to like about a minute and a half left in the match.
He was up 10-4 and then 12-8. But he was still, he scored. He was scoring, Ben. It wasn't like he was falling off. Like,
can we rewind a little bit, like a 30 seconds?
He scored.
Perfect.
Right before the injury time.
Actually, can we go back another 30 seconds?
Sorry. Yeah, I got you.
Let's not worry about it anymore. but, well, I mean.
Right here.
So this is where he screams out. In the process of getting taken down, Austin gets a minute and a half break here and then proceeds to score 14 straight and wins the match.
And so he got hurt on it was an inside trip attempt that failed, correct?
Well, I mean, depends what you mean failed. Like he didn't inside trip him, but he was taking him down. He dropped down to the single after the inside trip attempt. It's like
okay.
So
it transitioned to something else. Now, actually look like he probably really hurt his knee on this one. I don't know how badly we hurt. I guess we'll probably find out.
I don't think it was too bad. He proceeded to score 14 points.
No. But the way knees work, in the moment, they generally, like, you can kind of deal with it, you know, while your adrenaline's going. And then the next day, it's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah. Austin said he was dealing with an injury coming into it as well.
Yeah, so maybe that. It was funny that he did not get put back down in parterre. Now, a few people made that comment because he essentially, as soon as he gets taken down, he calls for injury, so he should be put back in parterre as well.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I think a couple other people pointed that out.
I think it's definitely a fair question. I think the reason they didn't do that is because his head was out of balance by the time they actually blew the whistle.
I thought they blew it just before his head hit. I went back and rewatched for that exact thing, and it looked like it was getting blown dead just prior. But yeah.
Now you could make the argument for fleeing because he
kind of crawled.
Yeah. Out of bounds.
He crawled.
To put his head out of bounds.
Yeah. But regardless of that, you can look back and maybe that does change the match. I think Nickley had already turned Austin Gomez in this. But afterwards, it just gets really bad. I mean, he gives up this body lock for four. He backs straight out of bounds at one point, I think, or maybe that already happened.
No, I feel like he goes to this. So in a couple, maybe it was two matches ago with these guys, he hits a really nice, Nickley hits a nice step round throw and successfully lands it. And then earlier in the match, he kind of goes for it and nothing bad happens, but I don't think he gets it. But you can tell Austin's coming closer and closer to like feeling it and defending it. So I think he went to the well one too many times on that one.
Yeah.
Austin is just a guy who smells blood.
Yeah. This re-attack is just like, it's really nice.
See how
but
slow,
it's the same...
but you guys see, how, it was, I mean, the re-attack was great, but how slow Nick Lee was, he didn't even move his feet on the attack.
Yeah, he wasn't able to recover, and this was a huge sequence. It's a
6-point, 8-point sequence? Well, it's 20
now, it's 8 points. Yeah, 8-pointer, so take down three laces, and now, you know, big trouble, and he's a takedown away. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of one of the cool things about freestyle is how quickly a match can totally change. Yes. You can go from, look at this, boom, reattack.
Now, I mean, now he didn't move his feet either.
Yeah. And so with that, we don't qualify for 65, a weight we have struggled to qualify. We didn't qualify it for the previous Olympics. We barely qualified it in 16. And now you look at all the nations that aren't qualified at 65. This was our opportunity, and we may well do it at last chance, but the probabilities, when you compare them at Pan Am's, was there way less, way, way less. Austin Gomez would be like one of the first or second round matches you would have to get to it. And now, yeah, it's an opportunity missed, and it's got to be, you know, it's disappointing for Team USA for sure. And then at 57... We thought,
but so Christian, can I just one thing that we haven't said yet, and I meant to say right away, is that whether it's Austin Gomez or Darren Cruz, these are guys that both of our representatives have beaten, maybe even multiple times, and guys who, you know, you look at, and this is why I don't crap on Darren Cruz, but like look at his resume from the international level events, he just hasn't had a lot of success. And so, listen, if we can't beat a Darren Cruz or an Austin Gomez, then maybe we don't deserve to qualify the weight.
No, I mean, we certainly didn't deserve it Friday. I think you're right. I mean, we're 3-0. Zane is 3-0 against Darian in his senior level career. Yep. We pinned Austin Gomez at Worlds last year. Austin Gomez has taken some really questionable freestyle losses over the last year. We should win that match. And that's why I tweeted what I did, because like there's a lot of conversation about Americans wrestling. At the end of the day, Friday was all about Team USA underperforming. That's what happened.
Yes.
And you can talk about Austin and Roman and Darian. At the end of it all, Team USA was not as prepared as they should. I say prepared, but they didn't wrestle well, period. They did not wrestle to expectations.
Yeah, I would say with the preparation, because we don't really know, but we know from a competitive standpoint, they did not compete to their best.
No.
Both of the Americans have wrestled those guys before and beat those guys. Nick Lee has beat... Did you already say that? Is that what you're giving me?
Yep.
Welcome to the show.
I check up the chat sometimes and I zone out a little bit.
What? Texting your chick.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, yeah, but we've beaten those guys. We got to beat those guys. And it's like, well, if those guys, this is what I was like. I don't want to just come here and be negative, but it's like, those guys will both be long shots to win world medal or to win Olympic medals. I mean, it's possible, but they're definitely gonna be kind of a little further down in the rankings.
Yeah. I mean, you watch those matches and you watch Zane versus Darian and you watch Austin versus Nick Lee. I'm not seeing any medals in those matchups, but they qualified. And then the Darian one was sort of frustrating. We were up 2-1 late and we give up a step out to Cruz, and that's it. You know, with 7 seconds to go, we stepped out and that was the match. Guys struggled to score on each other. That was a nice shot by Darian. Gosh. He almost gets countered and then ends up giving up the one, and that was the match. Lost by criteria 2-2 in a really boring match.
That's what I was saying. I felt like Zane didn't even really go after it. I mean, I know you said Zane maybe had a few more attacks, but it wasn't a lot. If we're talking, you know, how offensive both of them were throughout the match, that neither were very offensive. And generally, if that is a funny comment that was just made. Generally, if you're not as good as someone, you want as little wrestling to happen as possible because your chances of winning go up. And if you're better than someone, you want as much wrestling as possible to happen because your chances of winning go up.
Yeah. I like this part where the chair is trying to explain to them how that was a step out. And they're like, no, I don't think so. And they challenge.
I actually kind of thought it was a step out.
I do too. 100%.
Okay, great, great. Because I hate the grounded rules, but that one didn't even really look all that grounded to me.
He was on his straight leg, whole foot was out. His knees weren't on the his knee wasn't on the mat. That was crazy and disappointing, and I mean surprising, because coming into this, and shame on us maybe, but like the conversation was we want to be opposite Roman. Now we were right because Roman ended up qualifying, but we were wrong to not consider Darian in there. But then again, there's nothing in Darian's senior level career that would have said he's about to beat Zane Richards here. But wrestling happens.
Yeah, Roman was still an unknown. Like, we didn't really know how good he was at 57 yet.
Can we talk about?
I think we still don't know.
Against the Venezuelan.
Yeah, sure. I like how you said Venezuelan.
Because this will lead into our talk about choking people. Okay, so Roman did not look great against the Venezuelan. The Venezuelan got a takedown and a turn right away. But so Roman takes him down. And he does. And I hate this move because I just don't think it's all that great, although it did work against this guy. But it's essentially a jiu-jitsu move where you use that to flip them over and then throw the boots in and take their back is where you use it from. But he choked the crap out of this dude, and they flipped him over. And then the ref says, nope, illegal. Can't do that because he was choking the crap out of him. But then the second he gets another takedown, he does the same move again right away. The dude's trying to tap out, and the ref's like, nah, this one ain't illegal. He could do this one. I was laughing my butt off.
Well, I thought you can't go straight over top, but I think you can go off to the side with it a little bit, which is what he did, and then he used his
boots. He does the same
thing
because there's only one way you can apply enough pressure on this one to get them to go over, and it is pretty much your body may be turned, but your shoulder is driving straight forward.
Yeah, he drives forward, but then he comes off to the side kind of with the turn in his boot. Yeah. Now, Varner used to do it where he would just somersault straight over top.
Yeah, he was good at it. James Fleming, the OG, the snapper.
Snapper.
Yeah, maybe. So, apart from the choke out, I feel like we're not... I feel like we still don't know what Roman is at the senior level, 57.
Like, if you tell me he's in a metal match, I see it. If you tell me he goes 1-1, I'm like, I could see that.
Yeah, I think we haven't... I mean, I don't think he's beaten a ranked guy or anyone approaching rank status. So... You know, he was opposite of Zayn and Darian. So it's sort of tough to say, but I like that he's got more time to get down and acclimate. And 57, he talked about, he credited the training lab and Coach Cal for helping him get down. And I could not believe when he told JD he plans to stay at 57 beyond the Olympic Games, which means two things that I think
are great. Yeah, I thought he was going to fight.
Yeah, that means sounds like he's going to continue wrestling, which I think is awesome.
Or is he fighting at 125?
No, I think, fighting at 125 would be a lot easier because it's, 36 hours? He's making it two. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like he's remaining in wrestling and remaining at 57, which is, I think, interesting and notable. And I'm excited to see how he progresses because obviously he's got a lot of the skills you want to have in freestyle wrestling. He's at a great place to train and get better at it.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Have we exhausted Pan Am's talk?
We qualified three weights for Greco. Mm-hmm. We qualified three weights for women's, right?
We're 6 for 6 for women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did Andy Valencia qualify 86? I forgot to look.
No.
Oh, man. He pinned Unieski Blanco first round when he's getting beat 8-0.
You know who also didn't qualify, Ben?
Who?
Your boy.
Oh, yeah. That I wasn't going to bring it up. That bum Dylan Palacio. There ain't no way he can ever take me down. He can't even take Cesar Avalon down. No offense, Cesar. I don't really know you all that well. I'm sure you're a nice kid. But you probably can't take me down either. So, Dylan Palacio, you got no chance. You're a bum. Keep your sign to yourself.
He got a two there. It sounds like he got a takedown.
Yeah, it's probably a dump or something.
12-2.
I mean, bro, you got beat 12-2 by Brazil first round.
Yeah, he's in the mix. He's in the mix. I think it's a tough one. We got to get him here for your last episode, though.
Bro, I'd be so happy if I got to whoop up with Dylan Palacio for the last episode. You guys could lock that door. I'll just whoop his ass for an hour.
Well,
he just keeps just panning over. And by the end, I'll be able to do the show and whoop him at the same time.
Wow.
It won't be much work.
Holy cow. Well, yeah, that was, it would have been kind of awesome if Dylan made the Olympics and then both of you were one-time Olympians at 74 kilograms.
Oh my God.
It's hard to find. Yeah. Wow.
It would have been funny.
It'd be up for the fans.
We're giving Ollie some crazy, like, Ollie would have came back on the show, been nuts.
Oh man, speaking of Ollie, we went to also got to yell at Tyler eventually.
Oh my gosh.
Here we went to
yelled about this last week.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, all right, I'll get back to that. First, Ollie, we go to see the great, the wonderful, the talented Greg Warren here in Austin, Texas.
Oh,
he
nice.
Came to our town and then while we're talking with him, he goes to Ollie. He's like, "Dude, I can't believe you said that to Ben." He's like, "I cannot believe you said that stuff about Palacio to Ben." He's like, I was like, "Yeah, I know." I kept looking at him like, "You better stop because Ben might put you down on the ground." And then, but you know what? That's Ollie. He's going to
wait. Ride. How funny was Greg Warren, though? He's awesome, right?
I mean, we literally laughed for an hour straight.
I got a bone to pick with him, too. He comes when I'm out of town.
Well, that was, may be reasons for that. But then you've got Tyler, who this guy comes, Tyler bumped him. Greg off of FRL 1000, off his time spot for no reason, literally no reason. And then Greg's like, "You know what? I'll come to town. I'll come to your city and put on a show for you." And Tyler doesn't go. Now it's like, okay, plans happen. Okay. Well, Tyler goes and sees other comedians.
He told us that was going to happen.
And then
he really told us.
And then he could have gone on Saturday, but Tyler is a brat. And he didn't go on Saturday. He had two showings both days,
rude.
And he didn't go. So don't act like you can't even hide behind your Friday plans. You just say, "I did not want to watch Greg Warren do comedy."
No, I had plans on Friday and Saturday.
Give me a break. And then you know what else he said? He said this before one show when I was telling him about, I was like, "Oh, we should have Greg on episode 1000. That was when Tyler learned that Greg Warren existed. And he's like, he goes and watches some of his stuff. He's like, "Hey, this dude's really funny." I was like, He's all surprised sounding. I was like, well, he's a
surprised. I wasn't surprised.
Well, he's a comedian. That is one of his main jobs. But he sounded so surprised.
Some comedians are not funny.
That's a good point, too.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Greg Warren's funny.
Greg is really funny.
I want to see him. Now, Greg's hilarious. This will be the test. Greg is playing, doing a comedy show Wednesday before NCAAs in Kansas City, where I will be.
Yeah, let's go. Can we go?
Yeah, we should go. I'm going.
I want to go.
You can't go.
Why?
I don't know.
You can't stop
Tyler,
me.
Tyler, you try getting in there. We're going to throw you out.
Yeah, we'll throw you out.
Welcome.
You're not welcome.
Oh,
not welcome.
Ben joins in and Christian gains all this confidence all of a sudden.
Palacio's not welcome.
Christian
either.
Wasn't you saying he was going to throw me out before you started talking.
Rides on the street.
That's right. Well, yeah, because I can't throw you out. But now I got Ben who can throw you out.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, but it needs to happen. All right.
Whatever.
Okay, so that was comedy.
If I would have been here, I would have been there, and that's all I'm saying.
He would, and I know he would have.
I've seen our good friend Brooks.
JD. Brooks Whelan's very hilarious as well. Yeah. He needs to come back to
me. And JD are going to show up to that show in a trench coat on top of each, like one of us on top of the other. I call top.
I bet. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, is JD welcome to come, or is he out?
JD's
I
welcome.
Be in Kansas City.
He was working, not frolicking around Austin watching some open mic night instead of Greg Warren.
Well, hopefully she was an attractive lady.
It wasn't an open night, Mike.
Oh, night, Mike?
Oh, my.
Open. Yeah, it's because those don't exist. Yep, he's gone. On the show. He's making a right decision. Tyler's leaving. He's ashamed. And that'll be it.
Hey, if you're not a friend of Greg Warren, you probably don't deserve to be on the show.
Honestly.
Seriously. Greg has been a staple of the show longer than Tyler.
Oh, way longer. Tyler didn't know FRL existed until like March of 2022.
Some would say West Wesley helped bring Flow Wrestling to where it's at now.
100%.
A pivotal role. He was in the success of this company.
I agree. And what's Tyler doing?
Cowardly.
He's left. Okay. Hopefully he comes back though. All right. Well, this kind of stinks that he's not here because he normally would like help us keep the show moving. So this is his way of teaching us how much we actually need him. So
All right, I can keep it moving. We don't need Tyler.
Thanks, buddy. All right, good. Even better.
You know what? We don't have a lot because I'm sure Thursday we're going to do picks, yep. Right? But we do have a bunch of good questions. Or do we want to get into? I always feel like it's weird if we talk about the conference tournaments right now and then we kind of like re-go over the same exact things
let's
Thursday.
Questions. I think it's fine.
We have a lot of questions on here, and we kind of have been ignoring them a little bit this season because we're just a little too
busy.
Talk.
I'm sure the questions will involve conference stuff too. If you're,
well, a lot of them. I mean, the first whole stack are about the Pan Ams and us
stack
not qualifying.
Up.
And this is Brad Howland. This would be one point on your side, Christian. Although I guess it's not probably the argument I'm making, but he said, could the difference Pan Ams have been, he needs better punctuation here, that our guys aren't fighting for their spot at the Olympics. And, you know, I think that that's a huge point that I make when I say certain guys should probably go wrestle for the country is they're just a guy. They never, ever, ever have to wrestle off. They don't have to worry about nothing except preparing for, you know, the couple tournaments they do every year.
So what's the question?
He said, is that the reason, could that be the reason that Zane and Nick underperformed?
Because of our process?
Because of the fact that they are wrestling this tournament, in fact, but they're probably more worried about the Olympic trials in 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's
our process too good to a fault?
They have to worry about peaking.
Yeah. I don't think so.
You have to have it. That's why we have a process.
Yeah, I do think that's a valid question. I don't think we lost because we were looking ahead to Olympic trials.
Are our trials too late?
Hold on. In both cases, we already said on the show that both athletes, and I don't know anything about their training cycle, so I'm not saying this definitively. I'm just saying it's something to think about. Both athletes seem to have performed underwhelming compared to what they have done previously.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no denying that. I don't know that it's, but I don't know that we can attribute that to the fact that they have Olympic trials in 6 weeks. I don't think that makes sense.
Should our trials be before these Olympic qualifiers?
Yeah, it's during college season.
Yeah, I actually.
And the trials used to be way later. They used to be, when I wrestled him, I think it was early to mid-June. And I think that's generally when they were for a while. When did they move it up? Was it 16 was the first one they moved up far?
It was pretty far up then. I can't remember 12. 12 was, no, 12 was definitely, 12 either. I'm pretty sure it was in like April as well. But what I'll say.
12 was in Iowa City.
So was 16.
I was there. Yeah, I don't remember when it was. Okay.
I'm pretty sure so April.
Is this an example of our, by the way, I really had to pee and that was just a dramatic way for me to go do that. Is this an example of like our devotion to college wrestling and folk style being a detriment to our international?
Austin Gomez is wrestling folk style right now.
But
he literally is in the middle of a folk style season.
What if we're going to say, like, oh, maybe this is leading to guys not peaking the right way. And the reason why we have to have the trials later is because of the college season. Like, are we accommodating it too much?
The trials should be significantly later than they are. We should want them later.
Like, used to be.
And we should want it later.
Well, I don't hate Tyler's point. And the point I've made is people who can actually make the team should not actually be wrestling in the season. So that'd be, you know, I wanted Keegan to Olympic red shirt. Vito, I said he should. I said Dayton should. These better guys, they should have focused, or they should be focused on making the Olympic team. And with the trials being 1 month later, it's really hard. So I don't hate moving it earlier and then having those guys who are really actually legitimate contenders redshirting.
Yeah, I
think America has one of the later trials processes of all other countries. I don't know if that's true. Kozak, if you're in the chat, can you fact check me?
Russia is later.
Yeah.
They do theirs. I remember.
But they just do what they want anyways. They kind of pick who they want.
No, they don't.
They more
they have a process.
They have a tournament.
They have Russian nationals. They've taken Europeans too. Only your Sadulaevs kind of get a pass.
Yeah.
I thought Sitikov got a couple passes.
Yeah, he did too. Sitikov and then, hit a Granby without penalty.
Didn't one of the littler guys, maybe Rashidov, get a pass also at some point?
I doubt it. I don't think.
I would have never given him a pass.
Okay, maybe not.
So my opinion is actually that, listen, you can say, oh, those guys should redshirt. Okay, maybe. But the bottom line is, a large percentage or a significant percentage, a notable percentage of our talent that's going to be contending, if not making world and Olympic teams, are current college athletes, right? That's just true. And since that is true.
Is it actually true?
There is a notable percentage of athletes that are wrestling in college.
Let's say top three at each weight. So that's 18 people, six times three. How many of them are college athletes? Top three at each weight.
Well, it depends on the year.
I don't think it's probably actually that many.
Yeah. It's notable. It's notable.
10, okay. 15?
Yeah. A notable percentage.
Wait, 10, 15 out of the 18? There's no way it's that many.
No. It's not. Maybe
no, it'd be like 3 to 5, maybe.
Don't get caught up on that. Can I just go?
Well, but if you're going to make the statement that a notable percentage, it should actually be a notable percentage, not a few.
Historically, it has.
I was going to say, historically, it's like 1 to 2 years post college is the window where most guys make their team. Our David Taylor's, Cal Snyder's, Jordan Burroughs have skewed that a little bit.
But Christian is saying
we might revert back to the norm a little bit once those guys are done.
All right, let's look at last year or last Olympic trials. We had a college kid at 57.
No. Let's look at this one.
No.
Why not? We're the top three we know,
because we don't know who's going to wrestle. Because we don't know who's going to wrestle in the Olympic trials finals this year, and we know who did in 2021. So you had Vito.
Well, I was even going to give you Vito and Dayton.
You had Vito. You had Dayton, who lost. 65. You had Yanni, who was the hands down favorite, lost in the semis to Jo. 74, none. 86, none. Bo Nickel, kind of fresh out of college.
Yeah, but if you look
Brooks
at...
Brooks was there. Zahid was there.
I was going to say, last year's world team final included Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks. 97, Kyle had been out. Jaden had been out. Colin Moore had been out. Heavyweight, Gable, Stevenson, Mason Paris, Greg Hurtfleet. That was like the top two or three there. So that's a lot of college kids.
It's enough to where the NCAA process should be taken into consideration.
Thank you. And that's the only point I'm trying to make. I'm not saying it's the majority. If I can get onto the second point, which is we should cater our schedule around having the maximum amount of athletes peaking and with the possibility of peaking. So if that means you back it up instead of April to late May, early June, which is still months before the Olympic Games, that is worthwhile.
But what about that last chance qualifier?
That's in May this year.
That is a complication, but we've navigated that before in the past. In 2012, we had actually, it was crazy.
Bunch and Reese sent,
and Coleman won the Olympic trials while Reese and Bunch qualified the weight. Bunch ultimately did. Those are not ideal circumstances, but the reality is you want the best team possible. You want the best reps possible. And there are anecdotal examples of, all right, it would not be ideal to not have our team when we're trying to qualify the weight. But you want the best reps, and you want to give every legitimate athlete that has a chance to make the team to be able to wrestle their best. And shoehorning it 3 weeks after NCAAs does not give elite talent that could be Olympic champions and Olympians, doesn't give them their best opportunity to make the team. And I don't think that's – I just don't think from a making the best team possible standpoint – that we're making the right decision there. That's the only thing I'm saying.
Okay. I actually don't feel super passionate. I would love the college kids just Olympic redshirt be in the very best ones, mm-hmm. and then do it earlier. But I also don't hate moving it later, except for the last chance qualifiers.
Yeah, that is the one complication that I think is not really solvable, except if you just qualify the weights at Pan Ams.
We should just qualify them all worlds.
You should just qualify. We should win all worlds, and mm-hmm. then we wouldn't have to worry about yes. this.
All it right. is really, isn't it crazy that it's like, you know, on the one hand, the last couple of years, we're talking about how we've been, you know, so competitive on the world stage, and we're so good, and we're one of the biggest powers in the world, and yet now we're in this situation where we don't have two weights qualified, and it's like, I don't want to say it's never happened, but that's, but for men's freestyle, that might have never happened.
It's never happened. It's
never happened.
Last Olympics was the first time we didn't have every weight represented at the Olympics, and because we didn't have 65. Now, this could be the worst participation
with
ever.
With the caveat that, remember, in 2016, we technically sort of didn't qualify 65.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I said, yeah. but
something,
if you compete, you qualified.
Something to consider that, like, you guys might get annoyed with me for explaining this to you, but, like, our fans might not know, is that at this last Olympics, they wrestled for a true fifth, because normally top six, normally top six qualify their countries for the Olympics. Instead, they wrestled a true fifth, and that extra spot is going to be at the last chance. So it avoids the problem of maybe being stuck on the wrong side of a bracket with someone who's very good. Even if you lose to them, you could come back, take that true third, and still qualify our country for the Olympics.
So, I like that.
It is a better last chance than in the past.
I guess the other thing we should also just recognize, we could do it historically, but this year there are 16 qualifiers and 6 weights for men's freestyle, which is 96 total Olympic qualifiers. And for example, when I was in it, which is not even all that long ago, there were 7 weights with 20 qualifiers per weight. That's 140. 140 qualifiers versus 96 qualifiers is a distinctive cutback in the amount of qualifiers. And I believe if you go back historically, the number only goes up from there.
Right. They used to have 10. Plus, also, if you want to go even back historically, one Soviet Union versus many former Soviet countries.
True that.
And transfers now.
All right. Next questions.
Okay. I got so into that one.
We got that one.
Also, do you want to address the Matt Ramos thing? We were talking about this before. I watched your most recent NCAA videos. I saw you picked Matt Ramos, which I agree. Who do you think is opposite in the finals? But then someone else accused you of switching back and forth, Christian Piles.
Yeah, he was wrong, as he often is. It's provably wrong. Yes, I picked Jacob Camacho in October to win NCAAs. Then he lost to Brandon McCrone and Trevor Anderson. And I said, I don't think he's going to win NCAAs anymore. And in January, I picked Matt Ramos, and I'm still picking Matt Ramos to win NCAAs.
Yeah, but I think in the video that you just put out, you said, I've always said this from the beginning, Matt Ramos. That is what you said in the video.
Well,
you're like, before the season,
the beginning,
I'm picking the same
guy.
Beginning of 2024. I assume that was implied. I made that video in January. Listen, I don't know half of what I say. Talk for 10 minutes. But I've been consistent in that I'll change my mind. All right, next.
I don't. Do you want to move off of Pan Am's?
We can, unless you got one, Ben.
I like this one right here. And I think I know the answer. I still have not looked because I didn't want to cheat. Without looking, tell me who is the 3 seed at 133 and the 5 seed at 125 at 2020 NCAAs. I think my thought is RBY and Spencer Lee.
Spencer was definitely the 1 seed that year. He was undefeated, having his best season.
2020.
Yes.
Who was the 5 then?
The 5?
Was there 1 year when he was the 5? Maybe 2018?
He was the 3. He was a 3 and maybe a 4 on one occasion.
So the 3 at 33 and the 5 at 25. So, I mean, that year's year was Gross and RBY and Dayton.
Sebastian was the 1.
Sebastian was the 1.
Gross was probably the 2. And then Roman was maybe the 3. I don't know.
Okay. What about 5 at 25? I feel like it has to be someone good since they're bringing it up. Like, it's a...
Watch it just be like Drew Hildebrandt and, like, I don't know. Someone else.
2-0-2. I'll look it up for us. Yeah, all right, please, Tyler, please. We can move on.
This question was, should Spencer and Aliris have had the right to wrestle off for the spot before Pan Am's because they won senior nationals?
No, but I think that's a worthwhile change to make. I think you open it up because I think when they made the policy, the process, they probably didn't envision a scenario where 3 guys would say nah and not try to qualify the way or not even give themselves the opportunity to. So I think we should want competition for Pan Am Olympic qualifier. We should want competition for that. So if they're not going to compete, we should open it up so others have the opportunity. Now, would Spencer have taken the opportunity? I don't know, but he certainly took the opportunity 5 days before to do it. So yeah, I wouldn't be, I don't know this, no inside info at all, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if USA looked for ways to open it up so that others can compete.
Anyone else have any
but
thoughts?
Then, I mean, go back to the conversation we were having, then that's like, and they actually did this, but that's like another date you have to kind of get ready for.
Is that too many peak dates?
Yeah.
Listen, what happens between college and freestyle where competing once a month is now some incredible, like, that shouldn't be so much of a problem. It shouldn't be, well, I got to wrestle. Wait, you're telling me I got to wrestle in December and February? Like, why is that some huge detriment to competition? If you can't make weight once a month, it's not your weight. Not the right weight for you.
Yeah.
That's a lot harder of an argument it's an Olympic year, though. Because a lot of guys are stuck at weights that are not right for them.
Well, then it's not the right weight. Exactly. It's not the right weight for you. If you can't make it. Oh, we lost Ben.
I heard him.
Oh, wait. What? I unplugged my thing.
Yeah, we can hear him.
Hold on. I think
Ben's just saying that's the way you have to go out. Like, who's a 61?
There's no laws.
Kilo guy. You're just not going to have success moving up to 65.
You don't know that.
But if you suck it down hard to 57,
you can not have success there.
You might have a chance, though.
Maybe. You might have a chance at 65. You don't know.
Not really. I mean, remember like someone like, say, Seth Gross, like he was a really good 61 and 57, he was killing himself. But when he went up to 65, he just wasn't big enough to be competitive with those best guys.
Yeah. He made a world team at 57. I don't know if you knew that, Christian.
Yeah. I didn't know that. And it was it was not at 57 where he made the world team.
Oh, dang it.
That's the main reason I didn't know that.
You are right.
Tyler's on fire today. I think it sounds like you had plans last night, too.
I'm tired.
Jeez.
My goodness.
Okay. Anywho, next up.
Random thought. Zahid, I'm sticking with the freestyle questions before we move on to college. Random thought. Zahid at 97 kilograms next quad? Question mark, basically.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, why?
Does David retire?
It makes no sense. He should absolutely.
David said he's not going to be done.
He did. Where? When?
Instagram. No, I don't know. I thought I heard him say that. I don't know. I thought David said I'm not done yet. I'm not leaving my shoes on the damn mat.
He hadn't decided yet.
Yeah, I don't think he's decided it. It would seem, if I had to place a guess.
4 years? That's a lot.
Yeah, but if I'm betting, I would say he's done after the Olympics. I feel that's not inside info. It's just kind of like sentiment and listening and whatnot.
Knowing his age.
97. Listen, Zahid has barely grown into 86. He was still weighing in under, like, he weighed in under 86 kilograms for 92, I'm pretty sure.
Didn't he get a world medal?
Yeah, I know he got a world medal.
I don't know if you knew that, Christian. He got a world medal.
Yeah. At what weight? Do you know? What, 57?
92 kilos.
57? If he goes up to 97, I think that is where the rubber. He should stay at 86 and potentially be the guy, and then do the bounce up if he doesn't make the 86 team. But I think 97, he's a little too small.
Oh, so now you're willing to admit that some guys might be at tough weights.
Size matters.
For 86. He's small for 86 kilograms. All right, moving
on. Okay, before we move off of freestyle, Kozak did mention earlier that in 2020 Olympic or 2021 Olympics, whatever you want to call them, we had 7 American-born wrestlers wrestling there. This Olympics, we have guaranteed 12 American-born wrestlers.
Oh baby,
and with maybe more coming. So, if you're a fan of American-born guys doing great on the international scene, things are just getting better for you.
Is there a question?
That's all I have to say. Before we move off. Okay.
We get it. You're friends with Miles Amin and Stevan Micic. We get it.
Yep. Okay. So next question from okay. If this is an easy question. Curious guys, if Carter received a bye in the first round, would that bye count towards one of the two matches needed to qualify for NCAA?
No. He has to wrestle. No. He has to take the mat twice.
Yes.
We got a question about him making weight.
Yeah.
He has to make weight.
He does.
People were basically wondering if you think his injury will inhibit his ability to make weight.
No.
Maybe it makes it a little harder.
He's a professional.
It's annoying. Probably more annoying. Some of the things he can't do, but it's Carter Strachey. He's going to make the weight. If he's wrestling, he's going to make the weight. No problem.
Do you want to start talking about any of these conference weights, or do you want to wait till Thursday?
Are there any questions about him?
No. But we have all
of
them in our notes.
Not really, actually.
There's other questions down below at the bottom. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah. I know there's one. This one's for me, and I'll answer it, and it's easiest. But do you think more guys rank 25 through 50? And I don't think anyone even ranks 25 through 50, but we'll just say really good high school kids who are not in the top 25. Coming out of high school, should wrestle D2, D3? I think the answer to that's yes. I recommend it. We have a lot of great options in Wisconsin for D2 and D3 stuff. And the big one I say, Christian, is if our kids aren't good enough to get scholarships, I hate them going out of state to D1 because they all cost like $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I don't want my kids to be in a gigantic amount of financial debt by the time they reach the age of 23. So I say I cannot recommend that you go do that because I don't want to put you in a position where you're $200,000 in debt by the age of 23. So we have a lot of great options that aren't that expensive in Wisconsin. Go do that.
And you can get scholarship for some D2, right?
Mm-hmm.
D2 can get scholarship. Yep. D3 cannot, but they're all reasonably priced in Wisconsin.
And you can't get athletic scholarship, but a lot of athletic programs can assist you in getting academic or other scholarships. Yes. And help you out that way. Yeah. Coming from someone who wrestled Division II, I had great experience. Can't recommend it enough.
And there's national champions still paying student loan debt. You know, it's you got to do a analysis of what you. If your dream is to be an NCAA D1 All American national champion, there's only one way to do that. But if you wanna, if you really just want to wrestle in college and get as good as possible and get an education and not go into significant debt, then D2, D3 is great options as well.
I'm not even talking about it from a money perspective, but just it was a great basically, it's not it's the same thing, except you don't get the Division I accolade at the end. Yeah. So.
But your point, JD, I mean, and I think you know, you're speaking your experience positively. You probably had a good coach who you really like. And for example, in Wisconsin, there's a lot of really good D2 and D3 coaches that I think do a great job with their athletes. And then, you know, unfortunately, you've had some people go to other places, D1, where they didn't have a great experience. They don't really love their coach. And so it's like, I don't know, like the D2, D3 option is probably a much better thing for an athlete if they really enjoy their training environment, their coaches, et cetera, et cetera.
100%. And you get to go and be a notable part of a program instead of maybe just a 4 or 5 year room guy. And if you go to a place like Kearney, where I went, we go to U23s. Used to go to CKLV, go to junior trials too. So you can test yourself against the best guys too, if that's what you want. You can find places in Division II, Division III NAI that do that as well. So I think it should be considered 100%. A lot more than it does.
You know what? And not that I'm trying to suggest is a great idea, but you don't see a ton of transferring from D2 to D1. I feel like Isaiah White is one of the rare examples of a guy that went from D2. Because the point I was going to make is like, well, if you do really well at D2s, you can always transfer. But you don't see it that much, which maybe
there's
speaks
been a
to,
couple, but not a
it's
lot.
It's super rare compared to there's tons of D1 to D1. And of course,
a JC to D1.
JC to D1. But that's like sort of
you have to after.
You got to go
2 years, you're done.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
this is another question for Ben. Last week, he said a lot of interesting things about cutting weight. If for anyone who missed it, this is referencing that. They said, firm believer in the concept talked about with weight cutting, but I now run into kids thinking a major weight cut is moving down one weight. What would you guys classify a weight cut? Kids act like I'm crazy when I say go down 6 pounds from their cert over a season. And I think it depends.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think sometimes moving down one weight could be a major weight cut. I don't know what you think, Ben.
Well, it depends how lean they are and stuff.
Percentage
obviously,
of body.
And they're, when they're in high school, they got to wrestle the right weight class, which means they're lean. I don't feel the same way this guy, even though we don't have a lot of our kids cut weight. The first time that I say, well, hey, maybe you should be at, what do you weigh? Put them on the scale. Maybe you should be at this weight, when they're at, say, eighth or ninth grade. Sometimes they do and they him and they haw a little bit, but it's like, nah, this is what we got to do. And then when they do it, I think they really find out that maybe it's not that hard as long as you're not asking them to do it every single week of the high school season, right? If it's like, hey, make weight for Freestyle State and make weight for Fargo. That's it, right? Like those two things. Or make weight for Super 32 and that's it. Like then it's just not that big of a deal. It's just when they're having to do it every single weekend, that's when it becomes a huge issue.
Go ahead.
I always found I actually wrestled better, not when a tough pull, but like versus maybe just happy fat summer me walking around weight. I wrestled a little better trimming off a little bit of that and cutting down a little bit.
JD, it's funny you mentioned that. I was listening to the Wrestling Changed My Life podcast and it was just the full Terry Brands interview about the Henry from the Henry Cejudo documentary. And he talked about Henry's weight cut was really bad in 2008 for the Olympic Games. And he talked about how he saw it in his practice and his training that he knew he was really high just based on how he was wrestling. And that he knows when he's down to weight, he looks like a completely different guy and a little bit better. So I think there is definitely something to that as opposed to wrestling, chunky and lean instead of just being totally lean. But another thing, like there's a million different examples, but like what I ran into with coaching, a lot of the, for a small school, everyone does a fall sport pretty much. So you got guys coming off of the football team after wrestling. It's like, man, they're going to shed ton of weight just from they're getting into shape now. They're not in shape. If you're doing football, you're just playing you're playing this weird game. So you're just going to naturally
in a sport ball.
You're playing one of these, one of the classic sport balls in all of America. And so you're going to just naturally just doing the exercise of wrestling for 5 days a week, you're going to lose a lot of weight just like that. So that's why
Christian, the other thing to mention there would be some of these people in football, their coaches are trying to keep them abnormally large.
Yes.
And so like when they just stop trying to be abnormally large, they just lose weight from that. Not even working out, but just like trying to be large and then they stop and they just shrink.
I think a great, that Ben would have better perspective or can weigh in on this, but I think a good thing, if you think your athlete could be going down a weight and you're getting friction there, be like, okay, why not do this, commit to the wrestling practice, train as hard as you can in the practice, and commit to a diet. Stick to this diet, do it for a couple weeks, and see where you're at. And I guarantee you, if you lay out a smart diet, not caloric debt, cutting out the snacks, eat smart breakfast, lunch, dinner, they're going to lose a lot of weight, and they're probably going to feel pretty good. That would be my suggestion to any coach that's struggling to learn. Okay, maybe you won't have a cut. Let's see how you do with 2 weeks of following this plan and see where you wind up. And I bet they're going to wind up a lot lower, and it's going to be healthy.
Yeah, I think some kids.
The other thing I think. Go ahead, JD.
You got to go kid to kid too.
Yeah,
some kids are just able to cut weight better mentally. Some kids in high school can't handle it. They're going to be super mopey, bad attitude. Some kids can lock in and get it done and get tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, honestly, well, if we want them to all be good wrestlers, we need to all get them all to be that way. I do know what you're saying for sure. So the other thing, kind of comment on what you said earlier, you know, about summer fat weight or whatever, is like, if you are getting lean, and this kind of would be the Henry thing also, you're doing all the things right too. You're probably not staying out too late and partying. Mm-hmm. You're probably eating the right diet, you know, eating like you should be eating. You're probably doing a little bit extra cardio. So you probably are probably your most ready to compete when you're maybe not cutting too much weight, but when you're getting nice and lean and working hard and doing all the things correctly.
My brother Ryan was the perfect combination of extremely tough and so mopey and so sad boy. You couldn't talk to him when he was cutting weight. It was brutal. All right.
Yeah.
Another question is, should fans be worried about forfeits in conference finals again?
No.
Oh, I hope not.
Can you, no, so there's a rule change. Can you explain?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't bad last year either. Because, well, now they have, it's extremely punitive if you don't finish your conference tournament. One, conference finish is a major seeding criteria. One, two, you will take a loss. You will take a head to head loss to whoever you forfeit or injury default against. So there's a lot of punishment involved with doing that. And I don't think we'll see it, barring someone's going to be really, literally, they will be unable to take the mat is the only circumstance, which is why we have injury defaults and why we actually have medical forfeits, not how these coaches and athletes took advantage of this system. Previously, I think we'll only see genuine injury defaults and genuine medical forfeits at the conference tournament.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm missing context for this question, but this person is asking if Mitchell Messenbrink bit himself. They said, I don't think so. Is there something happened that I'm missing?
No, don't.
Well, the only thing I could think is Hefner? Amin match. Yes.
No.
When he's trying to cross face.
I don't know. I don't know if something interesting happened there.
I don't think so.
I don't know if it
when
was
you
like
cross face people sometimes they bite you.
I don't know if I didn't know if it was like a Trent Hydley like punching himself in the face situation where Mitchell just like bites himself as
Tyler's.
I don't think so.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so funny.
Okay. This is what separates winners from losers. What are small details or things that separate someone from their equally matched opponents? What is the key ingredient to big upsets? This is for state tournaments.
I'll take this one. I'm just kidding.
Well, this guy wrestled Tyler.
Yeah,
Didn't you end up?
I wrestled him at Street League 4. He also said that in his tweet.
Tyler, that's the only reason.
So I thought maybe he was alluding to the fact that he beat you up at Street League 4 or something.
That's not true.
I was
trying to super duck him, but I couldn't do that either though. But I won.
Okay. I mean, this question surmises a lot of things. So what separates winners from losers? What are the small details of things that separate someone from the equally matched opponents? I guess there was a few matches when people were super equally matched, but, you know, lots of times at the high school state tournaments, the very, very best kids are a little bit far and away from the rest of the field. So, you know, they might not have those super equal matches. Key ingredients to big upsets. And I think I've said this with like, you know, a Burroughs, which he probably doesn't have upsets, but guys who are like, you know, winning when they shouldn't is like they continue to attack the entire time. And so they're always dangerous. So someone who is just willing to put it on the line to just keep attacking and attacking and attacking is a person who's hard to beat. And then, you know, the opposite of that is someone who just says, oh, this guy's better than me. He's ranked number one. I can't beat him. I'm not going to try that hard. That person poses no threats whatsoever. So the ones that are dangerous are the ones that are going to throw caution to the wind and just try to attack everybody.
For sure. Next year, would the ACC benefit from absorbing the rest of the Pac-12? A conference tournament with NC State, Virginia Tech, Oregon State, Pitt, Cal Poly, and Stanford seems way more entertaining than six-man brackets.
the All Coast Conference. I wouldn't be opposed. I don't think that's going to happen. Of course, Stanford's joining, but I think Oregon State is going to have some sort of Pac-12 situation, and some of those other teams will as well. But it'd be cool. But I think we'll
Stanford, the college conference thing is so dumb. Freaking Stanford at ACC. So the Big Ten is just ridiculous. I hate it. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's so
my hope
dumb.
Is one day, if college sports is still around in like 10 years, we will. That's a very real like
dystopia, JD.
That's a very real concern.
Yeah, we could all be dead.
No, it could be. I mean, college.
I mean, eventually we all will be.
It's turning into like professional with all this NIL stuff.
It's getting to a weird spot, but that we end up having like two or three major mega conferences, you know, Big Ten, SEC, maybe Big 12, whatever. And then we get these crazy alignments, and then we all just kind of realize, this is kind of silly. We're just going to go back to
so silly
regional conferences.
Yeah, I don't know.
As it should be. Before Big TV came in and ruined it all.
Ruined everything.
We don't have any more.
Christian really... seems like he's done.
Yeah. No, I just...
done.
We're running dry on these questions, Christian.
We should talk a little conference stuff. We're not gonna be able to talk every conference.
We can get to maybe like EIWA and Pac-12s. So because we should get Big Ten and Big 12 seeds today.
Ooh,
I believe.
Ooh, there we go.
And we can do Big Ten, Big 12 show on Thursday.
All right, I'll just kind of go off the hip. 33 EIWAs, Vito Crookham. What are our thoughts, that's expectations fun. for this match? You know, as time, so Crookham wins, and you're like, all right, whatever. Vito will beat him next time. As the season has progressed, I feel much more strongly that this is like a coin flip match this time because of what I've seen from Vito. And
what we haven't seen from Vito this past month.
Yeah.
The fact that he's not wrestling.
What is your opinion, Ben?
My opinion is that I believe we talked about this when they're going to potentially duel. And I think I said Vito will be ready and he will win. I don't think he's going to blow him out or anything because Crookham is very tough, but I think he'll do what he needs to do to get the win.
Yeah.
Okay. It seems like the safe pick, what most people would pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not as
convinced. It's both the safe and the most reasonable option at this point.
Yeah.
I mean... yes, but at the same time, it's like, but we saw Crookham win. We haven't seen Crookham take a loss.
He almost lost to Cade Moore.
Yep.
But didn't. And.
Oh, Vito. He's a Vito.
Vito. And then we haven't. Vito's been sidelined with presumably an injury.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's something going on there.
Yeah, I mean, just the level we've seen Vito elevate to, where he won a world title and then dominated at the NCAA tournament last year. And while Crookham's had a very good season and has the win over Vito, the level Vito has been to is just a level that I think he beats Ryan Crookham. You know, Crookham had and Kolioko's tough, but he had a close match there. Nagao's tough, but now Nagao's maybe not looking like the guy we thought he was going to be because he's had four losses, I think, on the season. So I just think that and the best version of Vito beats the best version of Crookham. Who knows? Maybe. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think everyone would agree best version, but
yeah,
I don't know if that's the guy this year. What has shown best version Vito this year? What match would you point to that says any match that says best version of Vito has been around this year?
I guess what I would say is I think he's going to have the ability to find that best version given the effect of what he did between three things last year, the NCAA tournament, the US Open, and the Worlds, right? Yeah. Those three things.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. No doubt that's a possibility.
Personally, I just hope whoever wins, we get a very close match where
The
next match is – this could go either way. Plus, you throw Dayton Fix in the mix there.
It'll be. Here's the crazy thing: Crookham wins. He's the one. If they split, Dayton, provided he wins, will be the one, and they'll have to hit again
in the semi.
In the semi. Wow. And so
shades of Pat Glory versus Vito rivalry.
Yeah.
You were saying that you hope it's closer that you're wondering next time, but I mean, didn't Vito smash Glory at conferences and then still lost to him somehow?
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. So that'll be, that's huge. So Dayton. Yeah. So if Crookham wins, he's the one. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Okay. Other weights,
How do you feel about that, Ben, in a scenario where Vito beat Dayton last year at NCAAs?
Yes.
And that would be Crookham's only loss. Dayton goes undefeated this year. Should Dayton be the one, or should he be the three behind the guy that beat him last year at NCAAs and then the guy that beat him this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he should probably be the number one. That's just how it goes. But he, you know, he has a limited schedule. He only has, only has 13 matches. That
should be the way it goes.
Oh, it's tough. You know,
I counting for record. This year. I feel like it should only.
You like it counting for this year, but I don't like it. I hate the limited schedules all these guys are wrestling. You know, Dayton has 13 matches. Vito's got 10. Crookham's got, I think, under 15, I believe. Man, I hate these limited schedules.
Also, didn't Dayton not wrestle against Lehigh?
Right.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, like, should Crookham almost, for seeding purposes, get credit for that win?
No, but I do.
But, like, not like in the
spiritually.
Spiritually,
it's.
Spiritually?
Spiritually, I think it's messed up. It's a spiritual issue at this point.
Well, I'm just saying, like.
Yeah, he tried.
Yeah, that's just a case for you shouldn't wrestle these high-level matches.
Yeah, that's one area. So they kind of corrected the conference thing, but it's tough to say you have to wrestle this guy at this tournament or at this event.
Yes.
I don't know. I kind of think Dayton should get the three. It's different if Lehigh's not on their schedule and he wrestles his entire schedule, but he had the opportunity to beat Crookham and didn't take it. And I'm sure I'm sure he wasn't healthy or whatever. So I'm not saying he should have gone out there, but I'm saying Ryan shouldn't get dinged for Dayton not wrestling that match.
Don't disagree.
You're saying Dayton should get the one.
Oh, I'm not. I didn't say should. I said he will.
But do you think he should?
If they split, I would probably say. If Vito wins, I would go Vito, Crookham, Dayton, probably. But that's just not how it's going to be done.
Oh, so you would. You'd put Fix all the way down to three. I mean, I guess two or three is kind of irrelevant, whichever one he's at. But, I mean, to me it is. It's not going to happen, but it would be reasonable if Vito went number one with one loss.
Yeah.
This might take us a little off topic, so if you guys want to veto it, feel free.
Veto
but we talked about how we avoided ducking in tournaments now with the forfeit rule. How do you avoid it in duels? Do you have to submit a lineup like every time period or something? And if that guy doesn't wrestle, it's considered is there a way to do it?
No. You shouldn't get credit for a win. Whoever. You know, someone should get a credit. Shouldn't get credit for a win over Carter Storaci just because he doesn't take the mat because he's not able or available. Which, like, you have to understand that it's just part of the sport. It is unfortunate. It's you can't solve for every little thing. What you can do is reward the guys that are on the mat that are wrestling for the matches they get. But there are just going to be some examples where they're not going to get that opportunity for that match.
Agreed.
Fair or unfair? It's just kind of you can't make a coach play an athlete. You can't make an athlete wrestle. So
yeah,
it's tougher to solve for that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't hate it if the match minimums went up a little bit. And I know it's funny because there's some people not even hitting the 15, but 15 matches pre-conference when most conferences you're going to get three to five, and then NCAAs you're going to get say 2 to 7, somewhere in there. I just think like, dude, it shouldn't be hard to get 15 matches over the course of November, December, January, and February. Like that's like 3 to 4 matches per month, you know, wrestling one or two tournaments and you're there. I wouldn't hate raising that minimum, because then you would have a higher likelihood of the better guys matching up, which would give you a better idea on seeds.
Yeah. I wonder if we'll see a trend towards, and we see it with some teams, but like a heavier early schedule, November, December, get 15, 20 matches there, and then just do your duels. You know, hit an open or two and one big tournament like CKLV, and then, you know, you probably have a few duels in there. And in that way, you kind of get it. And that way, also, because the more matches you wrestle, there's higher probability for injury. You have more time to recover. And that's why we don't see many tournaments. And that's kind of how the schedule and the season is structured. But not a lot of teams, or a lot of teams don't take advantage of that. And I wonder if we'll see that change. I feel like, man, it would be all right to watch guys wrestle 20 times.
That's what I'm saying.
20 matches in 5 months. I don't know. Four matches a month.
Yeah. Well, it'd be 4 months, right? Because you're talking about the months before conference and NCAAs.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. So that's what? 5 matches a month. I don't think we need to unionize over that. I think we could find a way.
From a competitive standpoint, I think for the majority of guys, that's probably not even best case scenario. I view matches as feedback, and you need feedback to what you're doing. I don't like the current trend. I don't think it's helpful or productive. And if I was coaching a college team, we would get more matches for sure.
Yeah. Because a thing that Carter is going to run into, and another thing it gives you is, you know, Carter was sick for like a month there, and he missed a couple matches.
Yeah.
So if you don't have that kind of front-loaded schedule where you can get those matches, then if you take off a couple duels, now Carter doesn't have an RPI, because you have to have 15 matches for an RPI ranking. Mm-hmm. And now if he forfeits out, he'll still only have 14 matches, so he still won't get RPI, which will hurt him in the season. So there's additional, like, it's almost kind of like my theory of wrestling true freshmen when they're healthy and they're the best guy, because they're healthy now. Well, wrestle when they're healthy. That way, if something comes up later in the season, you can sit them without worried about, our qualification, our allocation, our RPI, et cetera, et cetera. Then those problems don't really exist. Then again, I don't know how much coaches even care about that. Are they that?
Well, obviously, for your Carters, Carter's a bad example because he kind of doesn't matter because he's still good, right? But if we're talking, you know, say someone between, I don't know, we'll say 8 and 20, somewhere in there, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that could matter a lot because, you know, you get a couple good wins and you move way up. Or, you know, or even the guys below that where, hey, they would get an at-large spot because they don't have matches. They're not getting an at-large spot. Like, that's relevant to them.
Very, very relevant.
Yeah.
Speaking on, you just brought up wrestling true freshman, well, they're healthy. Should we talk about Iowa's lineup?
Oh, yeah. So the coaches' rankings came out. Bradley Hill is the entered heavyweight by Iowa. So it looks like he'll be the guy for them, not Ben Keeter. And Ben Keeter even tweeted something like freshman season check, which if you need other evidence to the finality. So he's not wrestling in the postseason. And then it sounds like Teske, 33, Rachi, 49, and no entry for 84, or no one ranked at 84 for Iowa. But we would assume Riggins. But although I don't know, I don't think Gabe could get a ranking either. I don't think
because not enough matches.
He couldn't get a coach's ranking either. But I don't think they're using Gabe. I think he's done. It's going to be Hill and Rachi and Teske in those weights of question for Iowa.
Is that a trophy team?
Potentially, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, if you look around, I mean, look at Oklahoma State was the number two team in America, and, you know, every team has real vulnerabilities. Now, I think there's some teams that are really set up well. You think of an NC State, think of a Cornell, think of even Virginia Tech. If Bryce Andonian comes back healthy, that's really interesting too. But yes, of course, Iowa, Michigan, honestly, before Tyler
Michigan's set up really well right
now. They're set up well.
They're
trending the right way. you know, it's like
they got an Olympian on their team now.
At the end of it, you
but
know,
man, they got a whole stack of Olympians up there in Ann Arbor.
They could have three. You know, Mason could be it, and then Miles. Well, not on the team.
I was thinking they already got three: Michich, Amin, and Gomez.
Yeah, and then Paris
could be.
Yeah,
could be. So yeah, I mean, I for Michigan now they're coming on here. I think those guys just needed some mat time. You know, they not an experienced bunch, and they needed to get some matches in. Ben's tuned out. He's done with the show.
I'm not.
We got
on
six
on my app. Bitcoin just broke 67K. Let's go, baby.
Did it actually?
Talk about freedom. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think the app I use is a little ahead of most, so it's probably like getting right there.
Yeah, my book. We'll have to hit up Racky and get his book. Remember, we would always do that bit. Goodness.
Yes, that was funny.
Speaking of buying and selling, there was actually one question. Someone wanted to confirm that Christian sold stock on Myers.
We know he did,
because he said it. He did just put out a video saying he fully picked Levi Haynes. And I just want to get this out here right now, because if Myers Shapiro wins an NCAA title, Christian is going to try to claim that he called it from the very beginning. But we have so much documented evidence of you selling stock, and I need you to recognize that.
Let me just will speak on this, because this is factual. We have taped evidence. Christian panic sold. Okay, panic sellers. They're the worst. Their cojones are kind of small.
Paper hands.
Some bad things started happening, and he sold on the way down. He didn't even get the high price. He sold on the way down. And then it got to, you know, started going up. He didn't start buying until it got up here again. Mm-hmm. He didn't buy at the bottom. He panicked.
All right.
It's all right, Christian. We still love you. You did panic sell.
I didn't sell a single share. I held on
to
them.
Yes, you did.
No.
JD.
Changing my opinion
truth.
Is Listen. Selling. In our virtual currency, that's selling.
You could. I'll
sell. You sold.
I'll show you my Edward B. Jones portfolio. I have the exact same amount of Myers Shapiro. Did I buy some other stock as a hedge? Perhaps.
No, you get a finite this, amount.
No, not me.
You're not that rich, Christian. You're not that rich.
I am now.
No.
So I can bet too. You know,
Meyer was having bad times months ago.
Well, also, I don't think Meyer's going to win.
Really? I'm glad that
you
said that. Because if he does, I don't want you to come back to the FRL studio the next week and be like, I've been saying this for a year and a half.
Well, I said, listen, I predicted success for him if he becomes successful. I didn't say he's going to be bad at wrestling.
I actually think, you know, so we both said we thought he could win. And this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Obviously, he had some bad matches.
Yeah.
You panic sold. I did not own nearly as much as you did in the first place.
Coward.
I thought he was really good, really skillful, but did not own as much stock as Christian Pyles did. I did not panic sell. I said, I only got a little bit. I should just keep holding it. I actually think right now that I'm feeling that there's a greater chance he could win that bracket than you are right now. And the crazy thing about him is I think he could go the direction too. I think like he could have a terrible tournament. He could end up DNPing. But he could definitely win for sure. The options for him are kind of all over the place.
Endless.
I agree. I agree with that. Yeah. I do think he can win the weight. I kind of strongly believe someone needs to beat Levi for him, though. I don't think that's a great matchup for him.
Why? Because you think Levi were to give up points, he's going to gas him out or what?
He'll do that. I think he's going to ride him like crazy. And I
ride
think Levi will challenge Myers head hands. I think he'll get in. You got to be able to, like, and Meyer can come out and get two takedowns, and I would still probably be like, Levi will probably run him down because he can get to legs, and I think he'll challenge Meyer's leg defense as well. So I don't think it's a great matchup for him. I think we're seeing Levi come into his own a little more this last like month or so.
It's
been really impressive, and that's what I reserve the right to change my opinion on who's going to win that weight. But I didn't sell any stock, actually. In fact, no one stands to gain more than me if Meyer wins. But I don't think he's probably going to win this.
We have 2 minutes. Real quick, last show we brought up that Seth Mendoza needs to make Ben a new plaque. Hours later, he committed to Mizzou.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Great insider job, trading?
Sir. Yeah.
Insider trading.
Definitely insider trading.
No, but it would be – well, actually, I don't even think there's rules anymore, but if I were to give him a gift, it may be illegal of some sort, although there's not really any rules. People are just paying people to go anywhere. But he actually gave me a gift, so there's definitely nothing illegal about that.
Yeah.
True.
No, huge pickup for the Tigers. I think Seth, all jokes aside, is a really great prospect and a great kid that's just – he loves wrestling. You watch him and you look at – he still looks like – he has a lot of physical maturing to do, and he's still really good. And he's really good on the mat. I think it's a great, one, choice for Seth, and two, I think the Tigers are going to benefit from his services over the years. So congrats to Seth. Great kid. Good pickup for the Tigers.
So what a great way to end the show.
No. Something horrible.
What?
I wanted to end on this quick quick question. I wanted to wait till the very end for this. But serious question, who wins in a duel, State College versus Dagestan? Let's do just Olympic weights. Rapid fire. Thomas Gilman, I think you got to put Oguyev ahead of him.
Yeah.
I don't know who is Mamadov.
Wait, so are we doing where they grew up? Are we doing where they live currently? Is this what we're doing?
Dagestan.
Dagestan, they're trained that, they're, you know, like Tazudinov lives in Dagestan.
Mm-hmm. Is Mamadov Dagestani?
Yes.
Yes. 65.
Might be, well, Abbaskazi just said he's moving up. But
guys, we're getting worked in every weight but two, I think.
Mm.
We're losing 57, 65.
State College natives, there's not really any of those.
I don't know who 74
is. Sidikov is not from, he's from Ossetia, so we're okay.
So I think Dake would get.
All right, Dake. All right, now it's tight.
Dake's from New York.
David
guys.
Taylor at 86. And at heavyweight, you got to assume Kirkfleet would win that because.
David Taylor's from Wyoming.
Okay, but we're talking about people who are wrestling in State College right now.
Oh, we got to get Pearson Manville out there? 65? Come on.
The question wasn't where... He wasn't even born in State. The question was guys born in Dagestan versus guys who are currently training in State College.
Stay on topic.
Okay.
It's not that complicated.
So 74, 86.
It's a 3-3 split.
And heavyweight. So it's split 3-3. Kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
And I just thought that was a... I wanted to say that for the end. Okay.
Thank you, Tyler.
So I'm going to ask if any of us could dunk.
Yeah, I can dunk.
My brother, I am 5'5". I am not Spud Webb.
Yeah.
Ben wants to know how high the hoop is.
They're mostly 10
feet. I might be able to get it. I might get there.
Who has, hey, not Tyler. Who do you think has a higher vertical between you, me, and JD, Ben?
My vertical is terrible, so I'm going to take myself out of it. Probably JD.
All right.
Me and JD are in a beach volleyball league together. We played our first game yesterday. This guy was getting up there.
Yeah.
He can
jump. All right.
He's spiking it down.
He has good haunch power.
He did. True. He hit a spike.
Really?
Yeah, on a regulation net.
I'm nice with it. What do you want?
Wow. That's so. I can't imagine your beach volleyball outfit.
Oh, my God.
Give me a
I'm a decent athlete all around.
Yeah.
He's considered.
He's good at baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler can't even throw. We've talked about this.
That's true.
He literally can't throw. He loses to Zavi, a 10-year-old in dodgeball.
That's crazy.
We're getting out of here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back Thursday. These bozos won't be here. They're going to their respective whatever.
I'll be at PIAAs.
PIAAs for Tyler.
EIWAs.
I'm going to Big Tens. Ben is out. Dock him that minute. I'll be at Big Tens, but I arranged my flight so I could do the show Thursday and then fly east. So I'll see you guys then. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Monday. Goodbye.
Goodbye.